Welcome to The Age Stage in this, our 12th episode of the series. My name's Vicky Barber, and with me, as always, is Brody Guzet.
Cara mia bella.
That's a nice
welcome. You're looking very sophisticated.
Oh, am I today?
You are. You're all in Melbourne black.
I am in Melbourne.
With
not
matching
all.
Headphones.
I am. Got to be coordinated. But I do have pink shoes.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
All right.
So there's a little brightness in my day.
Have you been doing business?
Yes, I have been, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but not in high heels and pencil skirts. I am a bit comfortable.
How was your week?
It was good. It's good.
Oh, actually, it's been a fortnight, isn't it?
It has been a fortnight.
Because last week it
That's
was
why
cook
I've been
day.
Missing you.
Did you have? Oh, bless. Did you have any money on the horses, on the ponies?
No. I'm not a gambling gal, but I will watch and sort of pick my winner, so to speak.
Yes.
And I would have come second.
Oh, would you?
Yes.
And what about the horse? Boom, boom. Just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Well,
we were in Lawn for
lovely.
Well, first of all, I'm going to apologise to all the listeners for the show before that one, because we lost it. We had a technical horrible.
We did lose it.
We lost it. Well, you and I didn't. But we had a horrible
cyberspace
technical hitch.
Cyberspace won.
Yeah, we did. We had a horrible hitch, and it made me very cross and unhappy and sad. And
but you've moved on.
But I have moved on. And then when I went to Lawn, so we did a recap on Lawn. Mm-hmm. Not on Lawn, but we did a recap, by the way. And so that was good. And extraordinary, it took us only 2.5 hours from door to door, from Lawn to here. Would you believe it?
How long should it take?
Well, about over three.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Were you within the speed limits?
No, absolutely. I was well and truly in the speed limit.
Okay.
So today.
Today we have Peter Nilsson with us and Tom Camp.
He's back in town.
Right. I was going to break into an AC/DC song for some reason, go Back in Black. I don't know why. but Peter and Tom are with us talking about independent living and what does that mean, living longer and living better.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Tricia Hill talking about finance. And last time she was here, she spoke about the changes that are coming up to the pension. And today she's going to chat a bit about, you know, what can you look at and plans to put in place and make sure you're in the right space when those changes come through. And then we also have Peter from Telstra, and
yes,
he's going to talk about the NBN.
He is.
And
he's
the rollout, to, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he is going to give us an update on that.
Right.
And he's going to talk about the changing life of an elderly person using data as opposed to telephone calls. For example,
right,
I believe that, let's assume you have a prepaid phone.
Yes.
You can still receive messages even if you've run out of pay. So, you know, your children
are going to
ask them
that question. Because it goes onto your data.
Well, you just continue to be able to.
Oh.
So but you can't send anything.
Oh, but you can receive.
You can receive it. So if somebody says, you know, Mama, you're right, and you've run out of pay or something, then you can go and bang on next door and say, yes, I'm fine, dear. It's perfectly right. I just haven't paid my bills. But in the meantime, we have the two gurus that are going to come in, so let's give them a nice big welcome and their opening. And welcome the dastardly duo, the captains of everything to do with looking after we senior sits. How are you, gentlemen? Peter, good, lovely to see you again.
And it's great to be back.
I've got to do this.
After my 6 weeks...
Away? Yes.
In all points, Northern Hemisphere.
And I fall on my sword apologising for the great performance that you put in a couple of weeks ago, and I lost it.
You did lose it.
Yes,
but I see that as a rehearsal.
Yes, well.
There's always a silver lining, isn't there, Peter?
Yes.
Second time is always better.
Yeah.
So and the young...
We're half full guys, you see.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
And young Thomas is back from his fishing expo.
Yeah, it was actually, we went over for a wedding actually, Brody, a family wedding.
Did you make it to the wedding or you were just fishing?
I actually did make it to the wedding. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it home from the wedding, but no, it was pretty wild. It was really good.
Oh, that's good.
Well, welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Now let's get on with the stuff that the punters need to know about.
Yes.
People are living longer, aren't they?
They are living longer, thankfully. But how are we preparing for that? Peter, is the government preparing for that as well?
The impact upon the business.
Yes.
Yeah, the living longer, living better is a great term, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Mm. And that was a term invented by a previous Labor government following a report done by the Productivity Commission about our ageing population. Mm. last week in the rehearsal, we talked about the demographics of Australia and, yep. and that we have an ageing population. If you recall, I sort of talked about in a typical population anywhere in the world, it's a bit of a pyramid. We're across the bottom of the pyramid, clearly all the babies, the young people. Mm-hmm. And as you come through the generations, the top of the pyramid, you know...
natural decrease.
Absolutely. So, but there are four countries in the world where the population pyramid doesn't look like that. No. It's
like
an onion.
I was going to say a turnip.
Well, it's a turnip or an onion.
Turnip or an onion.
Yes. Yeah. And those four countries are Australia, New Zealand, USA and Canada.
Yeah. Right. Fat around the girth.
And the reason for that? World War II.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Reason for that, World War II. Yeah. Post-World War II, as you recall, mass immigration from Europe to those four countries.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, those people clearly had children who are the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. I'm a baby boomer. Tom's a baby boomer.
Yeah, I scrape in 1960.
If just, you were born between...
I'm old enough to live in my own retirement.
I think you're yeah, born between cool. 1946 and 1963, you're a baby boomer.
All right.
Now, they are the onion. We are the ones in the middle mm-hmm. That get those four governments will, in the world yes. have a problem.
Right.
And the problem is that the...
Providing for...
Yeah, the taxation base of the onion will not support... will not support the people as they move into retirement and then into care.
Right.
So living longer, living better was the term the government used to talk about what the Productivity Commission recommended. And in essence, it's all about economics.
Was that the Kevin announcement? Was that in part of his Labor? Was yeah, it before that?
It was Kevin.
It was Kevin.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And the minister... was from South Australia. His name escapes me for a minute. Anyway, so they launched that, and if you're a student of politics,
yep.
it's never bipartisan.
No, never.
But it is in aged care.
Oh, really?
Both major parties, totally support the concept of living longer, living better, and restructuring, if you like, the economy to make sure that there's a safety net for people who can't afford aged care, and the rest of us, it'll be a user pay system.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's living longer, living better. And I suppose what we're planning to talk about is the journey that people need to make between independent living, be that in their own home, be that rental accommodation, or be that in a retirement village,
yeah.
into residential care.
Yes.
So that's the journey we want to talk about. And I think last week we spoke about... there are a number of topics in that, so we won't cover all those today.
No.
I think this is a bit of a theme for,
yeah,
next,
yep.
for the next few programs.
Sure.
Which is great.
Of just how it all works. Yeah, so. Yeah.
So the government is faced with a dilemma. We've been paying into our superannuation for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there enough in there for everybody?
It's probably a question for Trish more than anything, but no, the general consensus is
there is not enough.
We haven't funded it.
It was a self-fulfilling question, really, isn't it?
Well, I think when Keating did that, the aim was to aim towards 15%.
Yes.
The actuaries worked out that if everyone contributed 15% over a lifetime of earning, there would be enough.
Correct. Right.
And as you know, we're at 9.5.
No, I was about to say 9.
And it stalled.
Yeah,
it's stalled. So there's an issue there. And, of course, not everyone's frugal either. So some people waste their super. So there's a whole range of things around superannuation. But living longer, living better isn't really talking about super.
No.
It's really talking about structure and putting in place a whole range of policies about how we get... people through that dilemma.
Yeah.
And
does
there
that
has been
roll through to the services provided and
yes,
et cetera?
Yes, no. It has been. And I think up until recent times, before 2010, say, there has been in older people a sense of entitlement that pensioners, once they retire, that the government will look after
we'll
me.
Look
and
after
it had them. Been until then. But since that time, every budget that comes out, they're fine-tuning and making it more user pays.
Right.
So the theory being that if you live to a ripe old age and need care, that you'll fund your own care out of your assets to a point where you die with $1 in the bank, and that's a good outcome for everybody from a government's point of view.
I think if I may say, though, that I think my generation, the sort of late 40s, early 50s, we didn't get involved. It wasn't part of our culture. So when it was introduced by Keating...
That was in 1993.
We were well and truly on our on our way and had and didn't know about superannuation or the rest of it. So when we were asked to start to put our hand in our pockets, that we were giving up a lot, and a lot of people therefore couldn't give up a lot. So you've got this raft of people that were in the 40s, 50s, a little bit in the 60s, who just could never get up to anything like 10%, let alone 15%.
Yeah.
So they're going to be the generation that's going to die and be the example. We're going to be the ones that says, I'm sorry, but you actually have to be made an example of so that the rest of the humanity for Australia is concerned gets it.
It's a bit controversial.
It is.
But I think it will.
But I think that's the challenge of government, isn't it?
Is to actually
manage that process. Mm-hmm. And it's partly changing the thing, the way people think about their
retirement. It's changing thinking.
And partly why this, to coin the phrase, living longer, living better, is, well, come on, you are going to live. You are going to live better. How do you take responsibility as an individual to
ensure
your
that.
Life and ensure better? And we, look, to be fair, we've lived through a fairly substantial time of prosperity, and the government is now saying, well, we'll adjust and fine-tune policy. We did talk about superannuation before. Now you can continue in superannuation until you're 75. That's part of the tinkering. The next part of the tinkering is how they actually deal with the pension come January the 1st.
Yes.
And maybe to bring this into where we're at in our industry, we actually see a huge social responsibility as an industry to prepare appropriate accommodation that's why we've seen such growth in the affordable side, Pete, to make sure that we are looking after people at a time where, you know, they may not necessarily be able to do so themselves.
Yes.
Hence the burden of cost on government.
Mm.
And so the way in which we conduct our businesses and how we do it, the finance programs, the way we regulate it, create the security and confidence in it, is going to be super important for looking after this generation as it goes through.
Well, let's start with the people in their own homes.
Yep.
There is a bit of support for them.
Oh, absolutely. The retirement sector, in terms, for those people who are over 65 and qualify by age to live in a village, in Australia it's about 6% actually do.
Yeah.
That means 94% don't.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, even though our sector is very important to housing older people, it isn't the key place that they are housed, although it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the general community, the way that the government are focusing on how we deliver services to older people who are on the cusp of living independently and need support to keep them safe, is they, about 10 years ago, they introduced a system where they needed agents on their behalf who could assess people's needs in their own home to make sure that we weren't wasting taxpayers' money. There's a story going around that some back in the 70s and 80s, there were billionaires who were dying in government-funded nursing homes and not contributing 1 cent to their care.
Mm.
Now, clearly, that's unconscionable, really.
Absolutely.
So that's how this started. So the government appointed regional hospitals as their agents, and they called them ACAT teams, Aged Care Assessment Teams. Now, in this area, it's part of Peninsula Health. Our regional hospital is Peninsula Health, which is Frankston Hospital and Rosebud Hospital and others. And a section of that group is called MECAS, which is the Mount Eliza Aged Care Assessment Service. Now, that's a team of doctors and gerontologists and social workers and nurses who actually are expert in recognising the needs of older people.
Mm-hmm.
And they visit you in your home and assess your needs. And they categorise you of what your needs are, and that becomes your ticket to ride to receive government services either at home or in residential accommodation.
So they're assessing you physically, emotionally, mentally, all of those
things. They come into your home. So it's a structured. What happens is either a family member, your doctor, mm-hmm. or if you live in our village, we might suggest to you
to have the assessment.
To have an assessment done. If the resident or the person who we think has the need, if they say, no, I'm not doing it, doesn't happen. So it's not compulsory. But what it is compulsory is you can't get the government subsidies unless you've been assessed.
Mm. Right.
So it's your ticket to ride to receive the services. And even if you've been assessed, you don't have to have the services, but if you ever want them, you have to have that assessment.
Right.
So that's the first stage of that process. And they come into your own home. They'll interview you. We always recommend in our village that family members are with you, because I've been through this process with my parents, actually, and my sister and I were sitting with Mum and Dad whilst they went through the process, and the questions that the nurse was asking them about their lives and how they lived, the answers Mum and Dad gave weren't the truth.
Oh,
everyone pretends that they're doing better.
They're better than what they actually
are.
Right.
There seems to be a reluctance to say, I need help. Mm-hmm. Particularly in my parents' generation, they're very stoic.
Yes.
And you ask them how they're going, oh, we're going well, we're managing. They use the word we're managing. And what does managing mean?
Really mean,
it probably means actually we're not managing, but we think we are. And a lot of people, in my experience, who are on the cusp of independent living, believe that independence is about struggling on.
Yes.
And I tell everyone who wants to listen, and in my view, the definition of independence in that respect is independence is about making the right decisions for yourself at all times.
Mm-hmm.
There's a horrible word called put, and nobody wants to be put anywhere. So we encourage people to look at their circumstances, listen to what's available, and then make the decision which is best for them, rather than having someone else make it for you.
Right.
So.
Well, that's
so that process.
That's actually still an empowering position to be in for the individual as well.
That interview takes about an hour or so, and there are simple things that give you guidance. If you open a fridge in a person's home who's struggling to be independent, you'll probably find mould in like there are scraps of food, and that's an indication of the state of the home. If you ask people to just put something in the microwave, and clearly, those of us that function properly, that's easy. Those who are struggling to remember how these things work, they can't do it. Washing machines and, you know, remote controls and TVs, although they're getting so complicated, I can't do it anymore. But they're the sort of things. So it's a non-confronting interview. And then a few weeks later after the interview, you'll get something in the mail telling you what they've found. And as I say, that's your ticket to ride. Right. So once you've got that...
So what's that next step then, once you've got this piece of paper back?
The piece of paper, in essence, can do three things for you. You can be assessed for requiring what's called a home care package, where the government can support you to stay at home. And that's the government's wish, to keep people at home safe for as long as they can, because it's much cheaper to support you at home than to support you in a nursing home. Much cheaper, or in a hospital. I mean... Mm. You know, I don't know if you know or not, but it costs about $1,400 a day to house someone in a hospital.
Right.
It costs them about $300 a day to house you in aged care.
Right.
And it doesn't cost a lot to house you at home, because it's your home.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first aim of the government is to give people packages, home care packages. So if you're assessed for that, they tick that box. You can be assessed for respite. Now, respite is going into a home, an aged care home of your choice, for a holiday. And if you've been assessed for that, you're entitled to 63 days a year. And people who are smart about this might spend every 3 months for 2 weeks in the aged care facility to recharge their batteries, to get thoroughly spoiled, come home again on their package.
Queensland, Gold Coast.
So that works. And then a final assessment clearly is for permanent residential care in a facility like Tea Tree Lodge at the Village Glen or Baxter, they've got their own nursing home as well.
Well, that middle road thing is so desperately important, because I think you've only got to go and look in some elderly people's pantries, and all you see is little cans of sardines and cup of soup, and there's not much more.
No nourishment, or they're buying frozen pizzas and living on those.
And they do, because their money is costing, the running of the home is so expensive, the electricity... Mm. The water, the rates, and all the other bits and pieces that they
can't maintain them.
They can't physically afford
to pay others to do it.
No, they can't. And so they hang on and hang on and hang on.
Mm.
And with
it's a
this
false economy, basically.
Yeah, it is. And so I think that 6 weeks a year, I think that's a...
It's a great idea.
It's a great... It is a super idea because it gets you introduced into the care space that you could enjoy.
Absolutely. And nursing homes aren't what they used to be. There's a huge fear factor that the nursing home is awful.
Bedlam. But
exactly. There's a stigma attached to it, particularly in older people who've visited their parents, say, 20 years ago. And back in those days, there were four-bed wards and bathrooms and toilets down the hall and everyone asleep in their chairs. That's not like that anymore. No. So the good thing about respite, not that it's meant to be this, but it's a bit try before you buy. Mm-hmm. You sort of get a feel for what the place is like. And I've had people from the Village Glen who've moved into our tea tree on respite and said, poor, how long has this been going on? Because they get entertained. It's all about socialisation and care. Mm. So it's all about people. As I said to you before, the human race, in my view, we're all tribal, and we like to belong, and we like to belong to something successful. So if you can find something to belong to where you get cared for and there's socialisation, your health outcomes are far better. There's a lot of documented evidence to say that people who live alone with their health issues, who are lonely, have much more health issues than those that are part of communities.
Yep.
And that's really important, Brody, because loneliness is, even though we live in this city that's got everybody knows what goes on, and the technology and availability, it's just not there. But loneliness is actually one of the biggest single hassles of older Australians in living in the community.
Because it links with depression.
Absolutely. And if we can just touch on independent living retirement villages, which is the stage people have to review before maybe they ever have to look at a respite situation or aged care or whatever, then you're still effectively in your own home because it's an independent living retirement village in your own home.
And you've got this support, network and support all
and
around
safety
you.
Nets all the time.
Yeah.
And as Pete said at the start, is that the socialisation, the tribal, the community that reduces essentially stress, anxiety.
Yep.
You can make sure that eating well, having their multivitamins, Brody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's...
As an industry, we're pretty excited by this concept because...
It's terrific, really.
The home care packages are fantastic, but they don't address socialisation.
No.
They address services. So they'll get you the services you need, but you can still be lonely on
of
a package
course.
In your own home.
Unless
you see nobody unless they come and see you to service you. In a village, villages are very good at socialising people.
Yeah.
So if you join the two together... Living in a village with a package when you're getting older is a fantastic outcome.
It's a very holistic approach, isn't it?
It will give you 2 to 3, maybe 5 years of extra living. And, and there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that people who live in retirement villages go into residential care much later than the general community.
Oh, really?
Because
If at all.
Oh,
right. Because their quality of life has improved so much from the
so
experience.
So maybe the last, 3 to 6 months of their lives is the wheels fall off, but before that, it's pretty good.
Now, we've got we want to continue on this conversation. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to get a question, because I have a question in from a listener. So I'm going to give it to you on notice, and perhaps we can talk about it next week so you can chew it over. But the message, which is, I think it's typical, she says, "Hi, age team. I have a mother who is expected to pass away soon, and she lives in a retirement village with a palliative care facility. When she does pass, what happens to her in terms of her bond? Do they deal with a solicitor, my brother who is the executor but lives in Queensland, or me? And what happens? And then how long..." It's a bit sad, this. "How long do I have to empty her room, do you think?"
Oh.
Which is a little bit sad, but it's a very valid
question.
You know,
it's a very valid question. To the pointy end. For
so
her, obviously.
We'll take that on notice. And next week we will I'll send a copy of this through to you so that you've got time to think about it. And to remind everybody that if you've got any questions, then you can send it through to RPPFM, and we will continue to ask questions of the panel. The triplets when you're all together.
The three musketeers.
In the meantime, it's been fantastic. It was better than the one we lost.
So we rehearsed it, you see.
Yeah, perfect.
Smooth.
And we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Right, now, have we got a piece of music
to
go over?
We've got a little bit of music, A Bop in the Blues by Carl Perkins. We have Tricia Hill with us today from Life Solutions. How are you, Tricia?
I'm good, thanks.
That's Hello, Tricia. Good.
Hi.
You well?
I'm very well, thanks.
That's terrific.
Now, last time you were here, Tricia, we were talking about all these changes that are occurring at the beginning of next year in regards to the pension. And so we sort of wanted to follow up a little bit on that. I mean, there's some big changes happening, which you went through quite a detailed explanation, which was great for our listeners. So we just wondered, like, if you were on the pension now, what are some steps that we should be considering, or if we know someone's on the pension, should we be asking certain questions if they're doing certain things to be prepared and sort of have that knowledge when those changes occur?
Yeah, so they're happening at the 1st of January. So some of the things that we could be looking at first is just knowing your own circumstance. What are the value of your assets and how is Centrelink going to assess you? That's the first thing, to know where do you sit in the new scheme? What okay. are your assets? That's what you're...
So does Centrelink come to you? Do you go to them? Is it a form you fill out?
So you fill out a form. They will often send you a form to say, please send us an update of your income and assets.
Right.
These changes are only for your assets. There's no change to the income testing. So if you're being income tested to receive the Centrelink, there's no changes.
Right.
Only to the assets. And one of the big things is looking at that. When was the last time you really updated Centrelink? You know, has your car depreciated? Looking at things, because what they're looking at is a dollar value of everything that you have.
Right.
So for example, the lower threshold is moving up from $205,000 to $250,000. So that means you'll get a full age pension. So some people in the lower bracket will be either getting a full age pension, getting a little bit of a boost, or and getting a full-age pension. And then the upper threshold is where it's really counting. So that right. means you really need to update Centrelink
this
to what you
have.
This
does not include your house, though.
It does not include right. your house. So any your primary residence is not included,
right.
regardless of value.
But it includes everything in your house?
Everything in your house.
All your vehicles.
Everything. Caravans.
Yachts.
Everything. Yachts. Everything. So
properties,
make sure. Exactly.
Hotels.
So hotels.
Private jets.
That's it. Stamp collections.
Trump would have a huge
oh,
problem.
Oh, actually,
he
would.
He hasn't paid any tax in years.
That's it.
Don't he come
He'd
in.
He'd get the full pension.
That'd be right.
That's a scary thought. But so when you're saying, you know, the value of what your furnishings, et cetera, everything in your home, do people sometimes like to put it up because they think it's worth a little bit more than it actually is? How should you assess that then?
It's sort of like a fire sale. If you had to put everything outside, what would you get for it? So that's
right.
really sort of the
garage
value
sale.
Of that
price.
Garage sale price. So that's really what it is. So unless you have something specifically insured, then it's just
stuff.
That's,
right.
yep, the price that you'd get if you're cleaning it out.
Right.
I'm worth $1.90.
That's cool. So you're saying that Centrelink send you this form and then you fill that out so that, like, there's not a heap of people coming around and assessing it.
It's on your honor. So you just fill that out. They will ask you for bank account details, things like that. But the assets that you have other than, you know, bank account details or things on statements, that's just sort of the honor system.
How much are you allowed? This is on, might have caught you unawares here. Do you know how much you're allowed to earn over and above the pension on a weekly basis?
So it's on a fortnightly
yeah.
basis
yeah.
and... You have caught me off.
Yeah, okay.
For the maximum that
it's not
you
very
can.
Much. I think it's about
much.
$100 or $200.
Yeah, it's not much per fortnight.
No,
and then it is again. It's on a scale of what you do earn is yes. what your pension will be reduced.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was thinking as a full pension. I know it's not very much. It's,
no.
it's not a game changer anyway.
No, not at all.
It may buy you some more noodles. Cups of
soup. Oh, Brony, you're painting such a bleak picture here.
It's fun being old.
No.
But we need to prepare.
Prepare.
We do.
And that's what Trish is all about, isn't it? It's preparing. So if I'm applying for the age pension, how do I assess that sort of thing?
One of the things to know and one of the things to sort of be aware is Centrelink looks back 5 years. So when you're getting ready to look at when can I apply for the age pension, you should really start thinking about it 5 years before you're going to do it. So they will look as like, do you have a trust? Do you have assets? If you decide to start giving away assets to your children, grandchildren, those assets are looked at as yours for 5 years. So really start thinking about if you're going to, you know, apply, think about 5 years ahead and think, what do I have? You can't say exactly what the minimums are going to be because we can see that they change. But what does it look like now if you were trying to apply for the pension? Think forward. Also, retirement village living or lifestyle. You know, when should you be looking to transition? Those are things that you should really seek advice about in your own situation because it's so unique. But forward planning, if you're still working, I think not last time, at the time before, we mentioned about there was a possibility that they were going to make changes to when you are allowed to put money into super, and they were going to maybe possibly get rid of the work test requirement. That didn't go through. So you must meet a work test requirement after age 65 to put money into super up to age 74.
Sorry, what's a work test requirement?
So if you're over age 65, in order to put money into super, you must meet a work test requirement, which is 40 hours in a 30-day period. Once in the year, but you must be working in order to put money into super.
Okay.
So that's something you want to look at. You might have some extra money coming in from the, say, transitioning into a village or a lifestyle retirement. And you might have, say, $100,000 you might want to get into super. So always check the rules and always plan forward because those are important things.
And again, come and it's always speak to a professional, I suppose, is get the advice from someone who knows what they're
We're hopefully everybody that's in the profession is on top of the rules and what's changing and you know, how we can assist you because things are always changing.
So the point is, just to summarize in very simple terms, I've got a house, I'm selling my house, it's worth $1 million, I'm going into a retirement village at $500,000, I can't just put that money into super and get all the benefits for that, and I can't give it to my children and it not to be... no tax relief. It actually is going to sit there on my books as income. Is that the way it's going to work?
It can. If you don't meet that work test, can't get some into super. Yes. So into spouse
super. You need to work
super
for a month. Go and work for 40 days, 40 nights. I know a good bloke who did that very well. He published a very good book. Did very well. Huge. Very successful. And his franchise has been unbelievable. And then once you've done your 40 days and 40 nights, you can then potentially move that into super.
Some of that, depending on the rules.
I
yes,
can see
very good.
There's a whole career of employing people for 40 days and 40 nights.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That's when you're thinking about selling your house.
Yeah, that's it. There's a part-time gig for you then.
Well, no, except do you have to earn money or just work?
You have to earn money.
Oh, you know, okay. It's pointless working here then. Because it okay. All right, listen, that's fantastic for this week. I'm going to give you a question on notice because I bet you haven't got an answer to this, but I want to know. For the next time you come in, could you tell us whether, if I get the full pension and I want to go overseas and extend my pension so that I can live better on the little bit of money that the stipend that I get here, am I allowed to do that? And I've got a feeling that you're not, but I don't know what the rules are.
I will have those rules for you next time.
So the idea is because the theory is, why can't we let our old people go overseas
and live in Bali?
And live in Bali if the same amount of money is going to give them a better lifestyle, and one assumes they're going to, because they have to pay for their own medical and all the other bits and pieces. So, you know, why not? It doesn't make sense. Okay. If that's the thing, which I believe it is.
Okay, we'll
topic.
So bless you for that. That'll be for next week. Amongst the other things, we've still got other things on your list to talk about. And if it's a bad day for you tomorrow, you know, my commiserations in advance.
We knew it wouldn't go past.
I knew it.
It's not going to be good either way, really.
It's not going to be good either way. And that my only advice is just hang tight.
Yeah,
and markets will be turbulent.
And don't play with any.
Don't panic.
And don't play with sharp implements.
That's it. Do not.
All right, my dear. Lovely to see you.
Thanks.
And we have a bit of exit music.
We have Puppy Love by Donny Osmond. And you're still with The Age Stage and Vicky and Brody. And we have Peter from Telstra. here on the peninsula.
Welcome back.
Peter. Yeah, thank you for having me. You,
and we also have a special guest, Tyson, who's on work experience this week.
Hi, Tyson.
Hey.
Good to see you.
He's come into the studio as well. So
it's a, don't be scared. It's perfectly right. There's only 500,000 people out there.
It's all good. It's all good.
So, Peter, welcome. We haven't seen you for a bit.
No, no. We've been pretty busy running around the place, Chris, down the peninsula.
Chris has been, how was the show? Did you have a fair or something that you did recently? Was it?
Well, we did the Main Street Festival.
Yeah.
So we had
good? Oh, you had the big purple truck.
That's right.
You?
We had our NBN van,
yes.
Down in the Main Street there, which we've done for the last couple of years. So, yeah, that was fantastic. We spoke to a lot of people down there, and it was a pretty busy crowd for the day, so I think it all went pretty well, actually.
On NBN, then, that's a good segue. That, like,
yes.
How are we going with NBN?
Oh, we're going very well, thank you.
you maybe. Is it at my front door yet?
Well, it depends where you are on the Mornington Peninsula, Brody.
Up Ballura Hill?
No, it's not at your front door yet, but but the good news is that we've had Mount Eliza has been live for probably about 6 months in the Mount Eliza area. But the next 12 months for the Mornington Peninsula, the rollout of NBN increases dramatically.
Is there a way of me knowing? Like, if
yeah,
I type
absolutely.
In an address?
Absolutely. There's a couple of ways you can do it. So there's about 42,000 premises that will be going live with NBN over the next 12 months,
right.
Starting with I think it's about 4,000 going live in Rye from the middle of December.
Hang on, they're missing us.
It's not quite Ballura Hill, but you know,
I don't deserve
the other side. Yeah. But no, it's and then it rolls out through Safety Beach, Dramana, Mount Martha, Mornington, all the way through to next year.
Brody.
So yes, there's a lot of activity. Now, as far as how do you find out whether when you're going to go live for NBN, a couple of ways you can do it. You can pop into the stores. We've got NBN locators available in the Telstra store in Mornington and also in the Telstra store in Rosebud. So the guys in there are really well briefed on which exchange areas. They can look up the maps, see where you fit with relation to that.
Is there a date for it so that it will say that exchange is going to be changed on?
No, what it will say is that when in the pre-service period, it will say that it's in build mode. Mm-hmm. So, but we've got the dates here.
Yeah.
So we know when the exchanges are proposed to go live. Yep. They do shift a little bit. I mean, to be honest, Mornington initially was due to go live August just gone.
All right.
But it was delayed by NBN probably due to infrastructure works not on date or whatever it might be, so it was then pushed out. And Mornington now, the first exchange in Mornington, goes live in April next year. So they do shift from time to time, but the closer you get to the date, the more likely that that date is accurate. So we think pretty much now, Rye being 4 weeks away,
it's on target.
It's on target for that. Yeah, absolutely. The other way to find out is to go to the NBN Co website. And there's a search portal in the website where you can type in your address and it'll tell you whether the build has commenced or whether that area is currently live. It doesn't actually give you a date, but it'll tell you whether the build has started or whether it's live and ready to go or whether it's like Ballura Hill.
Yep.
It's not even in the radar at the moment.
No, I'm sure it's not. No, we would be last. So you want what? No.
So I want to ask the big question. What's the benefit of NBN? How's it going to affect me day to day? So when it goes live, am I going to have this massive wow day?
Well, we'd like to hope so.
Just the bill.
No, look, I think there's a number of benefits. Oh, there's a number of changes with NBN that people need to be conscious of.
Right.
From the time that the area goes live for service, you've got 18 months to make the decision to move to the NBN, which provider, which plan, all of those decisions you need to make within 18 months of it going live. At that point, if you haven't moved, you need to move or your service will be disconnected. So for the first point in all of this is, as a customer, you do need to move to the NBN.
Right.
Okay? So you need to make a decision.
You're going
to
be forced to.
Correct.
After 18 months when it gets...
Correct.
Right, okay.
Absolutely. So there's plenty of time in there.
Right.
But you don't want to leave it to the last minute, because typically what we see is that a lot of people do that because they don't know what to do, they don't know how to get the information they need, or they're not sure what decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
And then we end up with a massive spike in activity towards the end of that 18-month period, and everyone's trying to get off.
I was about to say, then there might be delays in...
Correct.
In,
or and people have lost their phone numbers
because
of that process. So we encourage people to come and talk to us early.
So if you're currently, say, a Telstra customer, I can go to you and go, okay, so I want to be NBN ready. What do I have to do?
Absolutely. And even non-Telstra customers can come and have NBN with Telstra.
So it doesn't matter. You don't have to go with your current provider. You can just come to.
Now, let's try to get this in perspective. NBN and your telephone, are they connected or not?
So your telephone service will change with NBN.
Right.
Currently, your phone service, your telephone service is run over the copper network.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
On NBN, it's actually an internet voice service.
Is it?
Oh, it's VoIP.
So it changes. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So again, this is the reason why people need to make the decision to move, because it is a change of technology and they obviously need to make adjustments with modems and the infrastructure that's in the home to be able to use their fixed phone number through a VoIP or an internet connection. So absolutely, that's what will change for people. That will change for every person who moves to the NBN. And you don't have to have an internet service. So a lot of people on the peninsula don't have the internet at home at the moment. They might use their mobile phones, or they might use other technologies to access the internet, or not at all. You can have a voice service only on NBN. So this is why we encourage people to come and talk to us, understand what the different options are. There are different speeds on NBN, so not everybody needs to have the whiz-bang fastest connection at 100 megabits per second. They can choose different speeds for their download and for their internet through NBN as well. So there's a lot of things to talk about with customers about making those decisions, business customers as well as for residential customers.
Do you have NBN at your house?
I do, actually, yeah.
You do? And have you noticed a difference?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I've been able to download massive amounts of things in, you know, a fraction of the time.
Right.
Like, it's just an insane difference.
So streaming is all...
Streaming. I've been able to watch videos in HD the whole time I've had.
Oh, really?
Fantastic.
Wow.
Yep. And before that, you know, it was pretty difficult to catch it at a time where I could watch anything in high definition, but whole movies, you know.
Yes, we have to wait. We have to. Well, we do. Yeah.
You, don't you have get to, the little
you
go, hamster.
You
go.
You say, I'm going to like to watch a movie tonight, and I literally go and have dinner, and then come back, and it's
while
buffered,
it downloads,
and it's buffered enough to for me to be able.
So another question, Peter. It comes to your front door, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
How does do we then have to do something to get it from our front door in, or is that part of the pre-planning of coming to, say, you and saying, oh, I want to be NBN ready, what do I have to do?
So there's two types of NBN connection. The initial rollout for NBN and Mount Eliza, for example, was what's called fibre to the premise, where the cable, the fibre cable, literally ran to a box
device
on the wall.
Yep.
Oh, okay, on your home.
Correct.
Right.
That's stopped the rollout now, unless there's some specific circumstances, and it's now a fibre to the node rollout, which is fibre into the exchange and then existing infrastructure, so the copper network from the exchange to your house. So most of the changes now with NBN, the physical hardware changes, occur in the exchange.
Yep.
Oh, right.
Except for a modem change in the home.
Right.
So that's
so you're
there's no need
box.
For a technician to come out and
it's just the little box
bang holes in your
different...
walls and all that sort of
that's
stuff.
Nice
it doesn't happen anymore.
So my modem now will not be any good with NBN.
No, you'll need a new modem.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
No, that's good.
You'll need to upgrade to a new modem.
Right, okay.
There are some NBN ready modems out there.
Right.
But if you've had a modem for a year or two, it's not going to be
compatible.
Just
going to send me a new
correct.
One.
Can you get a trade in?
The plans that we have for NBN, they're probably not worth an awful lot, the old modems, to be honest, but you'll get a modem included in your plans.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good to know.
And that really changed from an elderly person's point of view as a paradigm changer, because now you really need to understand data, don't you? In terms, well, when I say understand data, understand that the telephone line that you have can now do so many more things. You can watch, as he says, live movies. And
Absolutely, absolutely. And that changes the whole conversation about connecting people.
Yes.
Particularly the older demographic down here on the Mornington Peninsula. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that have been concerned or fearful of moving into internet and technology and data on devices, on mobile phones and tablets and these sorts of things because of that concern about, I don't know about data, I don't know how much it's going to use, I'm worried that it might blow my bill or whatever it might be. These conversations are really important to have in that transition from the current technology into NBN because there are ways to protect against those things and there's some enormous benefits from having access to this technology and being connected
If I'm feeling uneasy, if I'm feeling scared, I'm feeling disenfranchised, I come to one of your two shops, for example.
Well, we would love you to come to our stores because I think the team are trained on this conversation.
Yeah.
So they have this conversation.
Not trying to flog me anything necessarily.
Don't
be scared of it.
No, absolutely. Embrace the opportunity because I think that it's going to be a change for everybody, no matter what. It is going to be a change for everybody. And I think that the more information people get, the better they are prepared to make an informed decision and embrace some of these opportunities that come with the technology.
Aww. Well, I think it's going to be very exciting, and I'm glad to see that you've got it. Are you still at school? Or?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, and it's I guess it's useful for school.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the speed we've got at school is great too. I think they've got some sort of special connection as well because it's even faster than we have at home.
Gosh, fantastic! We don't know what the future holds, really, do we?
No, we don't.
It's a bit scary.
I tell you what the future does hold, though. It does mean that we can't play our last piece of music today because we're going to finish shortly, which is okay.
That's okay.
I don't mind that at all.
We've had a great show.
Look, we have, and it's been full of information. It's been terrific to have a nice young lad in here and say, look, this is how
thank you,
Brody.
Oh, sorry, you mean Tyson. Yeah. Sorry.
Bringing up medium age there.
Thanks for coming in and talking about
absolute pleasure,
giving us that information. And you'll be back in a couple of weeks, or Chris will be.
One of the two of us.
One of the two. Yep. And in the meantime, are you at finals this year?
No, not quite.
Next year.
In year 10. So
you're in year 10. You've got a bit to go.
It's got a little way to go.
Righty-ho. All right, my dear.
Okay. Thanks, Brody.
Take care now.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.